Yeah, I've been involved since 2016, the only year I've missed in some form of 2017. So, and one of the things I've really enjoyed is the debate. And so, again, you just heard we're talking about Christian perspectives on AI and its impact on the economy. So, in preparation for this morning, I consulted ChatGPT with the questions. And so, again, these are pretty good answers. So, things just wanted to address was the ethical use of AI, human dignity and work, economic justice, compassion and care, moral agency and accountability, eschatological views, and evangelicalism and ministry. Those were the seven categories that it considered. Yeah, I was like, here we go. You should be solving this. So I think what would be the best way to handle this, we're going to have five people talk about this. And if they want to come up and give their remarks here, then we will go to a Q&A time and then give some final remarks at the end is the plan. And so I think I just want to go in order of how it showed up on the program, if that works with everyone involved. And so let me say that I thought I got some good answers out of ChatGPT, sort of surface answer, of course. But I'm looking for some real intelligence and some real expertise, and I know it can be found in this group. And so we're going to start with Andrew Henley. He is now a retired professor from the University of Cardiff. And then Richard Looney is a chair of Cambridge Econometrics. Rolando Morgan is an economic consultant at Full Circle Economics. Michael Pollitt is a professor of business economics at the University of Cambridge Judge School of Business. Chris Rimmer is an independent researcher. And so they're each going to talk about 8 to 10 minutes. Then we're going to go to Q&A, and we will be finished with this portion in an hour and a half from now. So let's start with Andy.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for the introduction. You have to stand up or sit down. What's easiest for people to see? I think we've probably all consulted ChatGPT. I may have consulted before you, but you've got a better answer. I have to say that this wasn't a subject to which I'd given much thought until Michael asked me to contribute. So it was a bit of a, well, not a struggle, but, you know, it certainly got my gray matter going. It was a week ago, actually. I thought, well, I really need to get my heavy gear on this. And I happened to be driving to a family occasion with both my sons in the car. Pick them both up. And so I thought, I'll ask them what they think. And there was a very good reason for asking them what they think, because Son One is an ordained priest in the Anglican Church. It's actually an area deanery, the largest area deanery in Wales, which is Cardiff. And he's specialised in contemporary culture and its impact on spiritual development of the other people. So I think he might actually have some insights for me. Son Two is an electronic engineer who works for a company headquartered in Brno in the Czech Republic, but actually he's based in Bristol. And they design new computer processors for anything that's got a processor in it. So if you want a processor, you go to one company like the one he works for. They design the thing all in a virtual setup. They don't actually build silicon, because once you're committed to the silicon, that's it, you know. So his job is a very senior verification engineer, and he checks that all the code actually works properly in a sort of synthetic environment. It's all done, you know, remote set up made for our notes, and then he tests all the code the other people have done. And I know from having previous conversations, he's got a lot of views on AI and what AI is and isn't. So anyway, so with conversation travelling up the M5 anyway, it turned on several points. What is meant by intelligence? Inverted commas. And actually, that got me thinking. I mean, when you talk about artificial intelligence, we immediately think, you know, this is some sort of artificial wisdom. But actually, intelligence can also just mean data, information, useful stuff about whatever it is we're interested in. So in what sense artificial intelligence? Actually, he's said on a number of occasions to me that it's not really appropriate to call it artificial intelligence. It's just machine learning. Garbage in, still garbage out. You know, there's nothing in that sense has changed that much. It's just what's being developed is not genuine intelligence, but just very processor efficient means of identifying commonalities and patterns in vast trawls of often open access data. He'll also be very environmentally conscious. He lives in Bristol Central. It's that meat, I mean, yeah. Watching the election results coming. He was actually quite concerned about the environmental climate impacts of AI, because he says every time you ask ChatGPT something, some massive great water cooled server is busy firing into action under a mountain in Montana somewhere, and using vast amounts. It's a bit like mining Bitcoin. It's the same problem. The immediate question is how much CO2 is being emitted by. So you think, well, I've got ChatGPT on my phone. It's just using milliamps. No, it's not, because it's what ChatGPT is then accessing and what it's doing on some vast multiple processor system, which is usually water cooled and generates vast amounts of heat because it's mainframe. So there is a question there. What is the price worth paying? The price worth paying, particularly as Christians, we're interested in stewardship of God's creation, and that's been very, very common throughout the 35 years I've been involved in this, over and over again. A long time before actually it was even sort of popular to think about, particularly at the impacts of anthropomorphic climate change. Now the priest, the only one, he was of course more concerned with the cultural consequences of attributing intelligence to machines, when intelligence might be properly regarded as a quality invested in human beings, created in the image of God. So in what sense, is AI in any sense a reflection of divine intelligence? Probably not at all. And when we think about divine intelligence, what we're thinking about is wisdom. You just scroll down the Psalms and you can see all of these instances in which we are exhorted, we're exhorted to desire truth, and you desire truth in my inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart, says Psalm 51. My mouth should speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart should be understanding. It's about a much deeper sense of understanding. Human intelligence is not about being able to use our processes. A sense of pattern. Yes, it is about that, but it's much more than that. That led me to the thought, might AI just make us all lazy in an intellectual sense? And perhaps that would be rather worrying concern. How can AI inform and support contemporary society rather than infantilize it? It's a question that might follow. Going back to the issue about artificial intelligence, and or machine learning, there's a large gulf between machine learning and the notion that the scriptures taught us to acquire. So, as Michael knows, he's involved in the same project. I've been involved in the Productivity Institute for the last 4 years, although no longer. And I did the sort of productivity academic in me suddenly clicked and thought, I wonder whether AI is about making us more productive and just less smart. the priest, he said, I think Pope Francis has had something to say about this, pulled it up on his phone, searching up the FBI. Pope Francis asked the question, how can we remain fully human and guide this cultural transformation to serve a good purpose? Which I think is an important question. We didn't feel that Pope Francis had actually said anything terribly insightful, but actually there was little to disagree with what he had to say on AI. But certainly that seemed to be the key question. How can we remain fully human and guide this cultural transformation to serve a good purpose? So then my second response was the same as Rob's response, and I suspect others, which was to say, let's go and ask AI what it thinks about the economic giving, the Christian perspective on the economic impact of AI. And I think your answer was a bit more false. And I had I'm pondering that. I had six headings. But let me give you the summary here. In summary, says chapter two, from a Christian perspective, the economic impact of AI should be evaluated not only in terms of financial and technological advancements, but also considering human dignity, justice, stewardship, the common good, and ethical integrity. The goal would be to harness AI's potential in ways that reflect both Christian values, ensuring that the benefits are shared equitably and that technology serves humanity in a manner consistent with biblical teaching. Now, of course, ChatGPT didn't write, not wrote that, but ChatGPT didn't think that. ChatGPT simply synthesized stuff that must be already out there, perhaps written by some of you. That's already out there for it to trawl and try and make sense of to the patent. So I was pleasantly surprised. That was just the summary of the paragraph at the end. But I was very pleasantly surprised to receive from ChatGPT a coherent, well-structured, and reasonably comprehensive response focused on those key themes of human dignity, justice, stewardship, and common good. And I was told that policy responses would need to focus on the importance of supporting worker retraining to ensure that the proceeds of AI-induced productivity growth are spread inclusively and benefit wider society, and that the development and adoption of AI should be guided by strong ethical standards. Nothing much to disagree with there, thank you, with AI, on AI. Of course, as I said, the bots can only synthesize what's out there already. Those ideas exist. So that's what people have already said. But there was also a sense, I think, in which ChatGPT appeared to want to put a very positive spin on AI. So I thought perhaps, maybe somebody has coded ChatGPT that when people ask questions about AI, I always respond back. That's a positive frame of mind. Because you would hardly expect an AI bot to turn around and say, AI is a terrible thing. So it certainly wasn't going to tell me that AI was a really bad idea on which we should immediately and quite literally pull the plug. AI clearly offers potential for improved resource stewardship. You know, if it helps us to develop clean productivity growth, we were discussing productivity yesterday afternoon at one point, I put my hand up and said, can I raise a quarter of a cheer for GDP? Because if you want to abandon GDP altogether, I wanted to talk about the fact that actually, if you want people to enjoy the benefits of prosperity, the discussion then went further on into saying, well, actually, what's really important is exactly these points that it needs to be the benefits of productivity growth need to be inclusive and distributed in an inclusive fashion. Rather than simply appropriated by large organizations with significant market power. So, I think AI does offer potential for support to serve human society, providing very strongly in bold emphasis, my emphasis, providing it supports rather than undermines healthy social relations. So, marking ChatGPT, I would probably give it a mid 2-1. And comments that the essay needed a more critical edge to be worthy of a first. So a bit like, in my experience, marking an essay from a student who is being financially sponsored by a somewhat authoritarian regime. If you've marked those sorts of essays. So financial markets currently providing very lucrative valuations for those companies that are leading the way on AI, but I think this does look a bit frothy. Companies like Nvidia and others who are suddenly leapfrogged up to the top of the stock market valuation. New York, anyway. But why frothy? Because in a sense, this AI is no different to previous new technologies. It's not a replacement technology. It's a technology that is improving what's already out there. So it's not about saying, we're going to scrap transporting everybody by horses and carts and replace it with railways. It's actually about saying, how can we actually make existing information technologies better? So I think investors probably find net returns quite difficult to assess, and that's perhaps why there's quite a lot of froth in terms of the valuation of companies involved. The slow process towards the development of genuinely driverless cars is a case in point. You know, it's not probably made the progress that the companies involved like to, particularly Google, because there clearly are very significant risks. There are very significant ethical standards, and the risks seem to me to be more likely to be associated with the insidious erosion of economic standards rather than the risks of waking up one day and finding that some unstoppable alien intelligence has taken over control. Because come on, boys and girls, you can just switch the thing off at the mains, can't you? I mean, maybe you can't, I don't know. The FT, in terms of research, I mean, the FT's reported quite a lot on this, so it's a good place to start if you want to sort of dig in without going to deep literature. And very recently, in the last week or so, it's reported on research, which is done by Google's DeepMind project, into the misuse of generative AI. So, you know, where is it being misused? And it finds, appropriately enough, the day after a general election, that the most common uses of are around disinformation, deep fake stuff. Anybody see all those the deep fake videos of reporting to be Wes Streeting talking about stuff he wasn't talking about? I mean, and lots of other politicians being manipulated in this way. So it's opinion manipulation, and then followed by scam advertising and fraud. So the big risk, I think, the big economic risk here is a second order risk attached to the risk to the integrity of our democratic political systems. So the second order is that if AI succeeds in undermining trust in a sort of insidious, slippery slope manner, in trust in democratic political systems, then that will inevitably have adverse economic consequences, because political trust and stability is possibly the most important prerequisite for economic stability and well-being. Just look what happened 18 months ago when and now a former MP, advised by a former colleague of mine, apparently, decided to blow up political integrity and trust and the economic consequences of that. So effective and I think you know the questions then are really around, you know, the challenges around bad actors who want to use AI to monetize fakery and fraud. And I think addressing these sorts of motives, you know, why are people wanting to do this, is a huge ethical issue. And it's probably one that's going to require supranational regulation. That's going to be difficult to achieve, since many of the national governments are the ones who have a strong incentive to pursue this stuff. So effective and appropriate regulatory response may be difficult to design and implement. There's always been a black economy, which has been difficult to quantify and police. The paradox here is that the tools that are needed to address the new black economy are probably to be found in the more rapid adoption of AI. So we need to use AI in order to uncover where AI is actually being used for damaging purposes. And that is a sort of irony and a challenge in itself. So I think for Christians, AI takes us yet further away from simple agrarian and colonial societies that are described in the Bible. It's another step beyond, which means it's a further step down the hermeneutical challenge of saying, how as Christian economists do we respond to this in a sophisticated manner, not just in a case of saying, oh, let's quote something out of the Old Testament. Do that. I think our responses do have to be very sophisticated and reasoned. And informed by a lot of careful thinking. So that's a bit of a function to conclude.